What a reminder we have of the salvation of our God. What a reminder we have of the Christ who lived and died for His people. What a reminder there is today of the salvation that is found in Him alone. And if you're here today outside of the kingdom of God, you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you're still in your sins. What a reminder is here of the Christ who died to redeem sinners, the Christ that you need, the Christ who can save and redeem you and give you the remission of sins.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and I'm Andrew Fitton, welcoming you today to our program, and I'm delighted to have you with us as we preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Thank you for tuning in today, and we welcome you afresh to our program. We're going to go back in time today. I was going through some old cassette tapes for our church's 40th anniversary last year, and on one of the recordings from our first Lord's Day service in our new building all the way back in 1992, I found a recording of Howard Saunders. Howard Saunders has since went home to be with the Lord, but that particular Lord's Day he sang a great old gospel hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.
Jesus, the very thought of Thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but better far Thy face to see, and in Thy presence rest. Nor voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than Thy blessed name. O Savior of mankind, O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall how kind Thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find all this, nor tongue nor pen can show the love of Jesus, what it is. None but His loved ones know. Savior, our only joy be Thou, as Thou our crown shalt be. Be Thou, O Lord, our glory now and through eternity.
Last time we were considering together Colossians chapter 2 and the verse 10, where the Word of God says, "And ye are complete in Him." I want to take you again to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the second part of that message, Saved and Complete in Him.
Oh, there are those that will say, God will feel pleased with me. God will not judge me. God will not send me to hell. God will approve. If I attend church, I'll have merit and favor with God. Yes, there is a way in which we ought to attend church. It's a fruit of our salvation. It is not a cause of our salvation. But there are church attenders in North America. There are church attenders here, no doubt, in this part of the world, who will go to hell for all eternity because they know nothing of the gospel of Christ. They've never repented. They've never turned from sin. They've never trusted Christ and believed in Him alone for salvation. Yet they've attended church faithfully. If we could use the word faithfully over the years. But their hearts are dark with sin. They know not the Savior. They know not His salvation. Either it has not been preached, or they have neglected and ignored the message of the gospel of Christ. Works don't save. Coming to the church, hearing the gospel, being in a family that knows the Savior and believes in Christ and serves the Lord, a family that the Word of God is an open book in their home, that does not save. It's a good thing. It's a privilege, but it does not save. It is the work of Christ alone. We are complete in Him. We are not complete in a work. We are not complete in Christ plus church attendance, or Christ plus church attendance plus trying to live a holy life, plus being nice to our neighbor, plus this, plus that, whatever you want to put in there. Paul says to the church in Colossae, you're complete in Him. Complete in Christ alone. Your salvation is built upon Christ and not these other things. How sad it is that there are many who sit in pews who will go from that pew into God's eternity and be judged for sin because they know nothing of Christ. That's why we're a separated church. Because we're separate from those churches that have people in their pews and they preach not Christ. They preach not Christ. The other side of that, of course, is those who sit in pews and they don't want to listen to the gospel. They don't want to repent. Today, is that an example of you? You've heard the gospel time and time again. Maybe if I sat down and asked you to stand up and explain the gospel, you could do a reasonable job. You know it's through Christ. You know what Christ has done. You know how to be saved. But yet, something, your sin, whatever it is, comes first. Your church attendance, your family means absolutely nothing. What have you done with Christ? Are you complete in Him? When we stand before God, when the last day comes, and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, are you robed with the garments of salvation? Because of Christ, because you are complete in Him, that seal is upon you. That seal of the covenant, that seal that we can see, that surety that Christ speaks of, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Dear believer, there's an assurance here. The redemption of Christ is sealed. And you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Is there that assurance? As we come to the table of the Lord today, it's for those who trust the Lord. It's for those who believe. It's not a table for those to partake who've never repented of sin and trusted Christ. But you can come and you can partake. You can say publicly as you partake, this is what you're doing when you partake. I'm a child of God, you're saying. I'm a believer. I love the Savior. I'm willing to walk in His ways. I'm complete in Him. When you partake at the table, that's what you're saying. I'm complete in Christ. He is everything to me. But is it a lie? Is it a lie? Do you truly know Him? Because when we come to the Lord's table, that's the sign that you're sending out. I'm complete in Christ as you partake. And if it's not true, we can't see your heart. But God does. But on the day of judgment, God sees your heart. You cannot say on the day of judgment, I'm complete in Christ, when Christ Himself knows that you're not. Are you complete in Him? Do you know Him? Have you turned from sin and believed in Him? Know that assurance that neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When we think of this text and the redemption for us that has been sealed by Christ, do we understand our identity in Christ? We have a great identity. We're complete in Him. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our Lord. Our identity is, as it were, stamped by the name of Christ. The believers at Antioch were first called Christians. Why? That name means Christ's ones. They were marked with the stamp of Christ. They lived for Christ. They served Christ. They testified of Christ. They had an identity that was inseparable from Christ. And dear believer, if you and I are truly complete in Him, our identity is inseparable from Christ. We cannot go from being a Christian one day and going to work the next day and living as if we are not complete in Christ. We're to live for Him continually. We're to be that testimony, that witness for Him. Because of this redemption that has been sealed, are you truly complete in Him? Are you living that out? Is the testimony that you set forth in this world a testimony that says, I'm complete in Christ? He saved me. He's redeemed me. I can rest upon His salvation. I'm living for Him. Because of that, being complete in Christ, we're to reject the philosophy of this world. This is what the apostle emphasizes. We're to be rooted and built up. We're to be established in the faith. We'll come to that this evening. But the apostle says in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. These things are to be rejected. When we understand our identity in Christ and what Christ has done, the seal of our redemption, our identity in Christ, our living for Christ, is a rejection of all of the world's thinking, philosophy, ideology, because it is antichrist. It is against Christ. And therefore, if we're truly complete in Him, that will be evident in our lives. Dear believer, is it evident in your life today? Is it evident more than coming to church? Is it evident more than singing? Is it evident more than opening your Bible? Is it evident more than receiving the elements at the table of the Lord? Is it evident in all you say, in all you do, in the attitude that you have in life? Is it evident that you are complete in Him? Secondly, I want you to see, our time is moving on, but I want you to see, secondly, that Christ's death is life for us. Christ's death is life for us. Again, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Dead in sins, but quickened and resurrected. That is the gospel. The gospel takes the sinner that is dead and gives him that eternal life. And Christ is our life. We have been quickened by Christ, resurrected by Christ. The great example of this is Ephesians chapter 2. And you he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We see here what the Lord has done for these Ephesian believers. They were dead. No life whatsoever. But now they're complete in Christ. They have a life. The death of Christ gave them life. They're in a miserable condition. They were dead in trespasses and sins. That was their original estate. That is our natural condition. But there's a glorious change through the power of Christ. They were dead. No spiritual life. That is a reminder, dear believer, of where you and I stand originally. Are we complete in ourselves? We are not. Are we complete because of something we could accomplish? No. We are complete in Christ. Our salvation is from Him. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we're reminded of that. The testimony of the Ephesians here might as well be our testimony. Dear unbeliever today, if you turn from sin and trust in Christ, your testimony will be here in Ephesians 2. Believers here can say, we've been quickened and resurrected. We were dead, but Christ has saved us. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us and sent Christ to be our Savior. We've been changed. But prior to that change, dear unbeliever, that's where you are. Dead in trespasses and sins. Walking according to the course of this world, a different master. Not complete at all, but broken and vile and corrupt. And in the midst of sin and rebellion against God, but God, who is rich in mercy, can save. He can redeem. This is what the Lord has done. There is spiritual death, but now there is life abundant. Dear believer, we come to this table because we, being dead, are alive in Christ. He has given us life. He has forgiven our sins. He has forgiven our trespasses. And we come and we rejoice in what He has done for us. Therefore, He is our head. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who has authority over us. We are His people. We're to rejoice in our God. We're to rejoice in our Savior. We're to live for Him. We're complete in Him. When we think of our Savior, when we think of what He has done for us, when we think of who He is, a Savior of love, a Savior who helps us and lifts us up and encourages us, a Savior who we can bring our cares and leave them at His feet. Are we rejoicing that we who were dead have one who lifted us up, one who resurrected us, one upon whom we can bring all these cares and burdens? Our Savior is alive, living evermore. He's blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. That brings us to our third thought. And finally, Christ's work is triumphant for us. Christ's work is triumphant for us. That verse 14. What has Christ done? He's blotted out the handwriting that was against us. He took it out of the way. He nailed it to His cross. Our sins have been dealt with. That is why we're complete in Christ. That is why we have the assurity of salvation as we come to the table of the Lord this morning. We should not be coming as those who hope that we have salvation, or those who hope that at the end of our lives God will give us His approval. But there's nervousness, there's unsurety, uncertainty about this. No, we come with an assurance. We come believing. We come knowing that Christ has taken our sin, He's nailed it to the cross, and the table that is before us, it speaks of a work that is finished, of full satisfaction, of our sins being forgiven. That's not a license to sin. We're to bring our sins to the Lord. We're to confess our sins. We're to seek His help in dealing with our sins day by day. But our sins are forgiven and dealt with in the sense of Christ paying the penalty for those sins. We can come knowing that this table speaks of a full assurance of salvation. Dear believer, if you have doubts and fears concerning your sin, come to the table of the Lord. Be reminded that here we have the blood of Christ, and here we have the body of Christ that was shed and broken for us. And it was not broken in vain. Because as Christ died, He forgave the sins of His people. He forgave your sins. If you are a believer, trusting in Him, walking with Him, He has forgiven all of your sins. All of your sins. What a marvelous thing that is. What assurance we can have. And as the Lord's people, we're not to live with those sins beating us down. But rather, Christ has lifted the burden. And we are to delight in Christ. We mentioned to the men last night about delighting in the Lord, delighting in Christ, enjoying Christ and His salvation, because it's a victorious thing. It's a triumphant thing. Because we are complete in Christ, we're to have joy. We're to have that smile on our faces. We're to have that trust in Him. Life can be difficult, but we're complete in Christ. He has that glorious victory. He has spoiled the principalities and the powers. He's took our sins. He's nailed them to His cross. He's triumphed over all of these things. We could not do that. He did that. And now, because of this glorious victory, we are complete in Him. It is a finished work. A finished work. Dear believer, as we come to the close of this message, as we come to the Lord's table, think on this. You are complete in Christ. We'll see tonight something of how that works regarding our sanctification. Think upon that. You are complete in Him, saved, redeemed, resting upon Him and His fullness, rejoicing in the certainty of the gospel. And what should that do in our lives? It should cultivate within us a life that is centered on Christ, praying, reading, fellowship with believers, enjoying Christ and the fullness of Christ, living a life that is dependent on Christ and a life that testifies of Christ, a life with hope, a life with assurance, because we are complete in Him, a life that is a living witness of your Savior. Because you are complete in Him. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. And may we rejoice. The hymn writer said, "Dear Savior, when before Thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among Thy chosen will I be at Thy right hand, complete, complete in Thee." May the Lord bless His word to us. May we rejoice that we are indeed complete in Him.
May the Lord be pleased to bless his word afresh to our souls. Our Spurgeon devotional for today comes from Morning and Evening, the morning of January the 8th. And the text that he uses is Exodus 28 and the verse 38. The iniquity of the holy things. What a veil is lifted up by these words, and what a disclosure is made. It will be humbling and profitable for us to pause a while and see this sad sight. The iniquities of our public worship, its hypocrisy, formality, lukewarmness, irreverence, wandering of heart and forgetfulness of God. What a full measure we have here. Our work for the Lord, its emulation, selfishness, carelessness, slackness, unbelief, what a mass of defilement is there. Our private devotions, their laxity, coldness, neglect, sleepiness, and vanity. What a mountain of dead earth is there. If we look more carefully, we should find this iniquity to be far greater than appears at first sight. Dr. Payson, writing to his brother, says, "My parish, as well as my heart, very much resembles the garden of the sluggard. And what is worse, I find that very many of my desires for the amelioration of both proceed either from pride or vanity or indolence. I look at the weeds which overspread my garden and breathe out an earnest wish that they were eradicated. But why? What prompts the wish? It may be that I may walk out and say to myself, in what fine order is my garden kept? This is pride. Or it may be that my neighbours may look over the wall and say, how finely your garden flourishes. This is vanity. Oh, I may wish for the destruction of the weeds, because I am weary of pulling them up. This is indolence. So that even our desires after holiness may be polluted by ill motives. Under the greenest sods, worms hide themselves. We need not look long to discover them. How cheering is the thought that when the high priest bore the iniquity of the holy things, he wore upon his brow the words, Holiness to the Lord. And even so, while Jesus bears our sin, he presents before his Father's face not our unholiness, but his own holiness. Oh, for grace to view our great high priest by the eye of faith. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again tomorrow on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's Word.